Inflation may be low generally in the U.S. economy, but if higher education is what you're buying these days, you already know the costs are rising nearly as fast as healthcare, between 4 and 8% annually, depending on the category of institution you choose to look at. Our next guest presided over a 300% increase in tuition and fees over his two decades as president of George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Stephen Trachtenberg is president emeritus of GWU and university professor of public service. He defends his approach in an article for The Atlantic called Why is College So Expensive? President Trachtenberg, good morning.
Good morning to you.
So does money equal quality education in your experience as the head of a major university?
Well, it's not the only component, but it sure helps. We just had three Nobel Prize winners in physics. Let me assure you, they didn't do their work in an empty field. They needed equipment, they needed buildings, and they needed salaries and staff, and all of that took money.
And what does that do to the student body and your ability to preserve diversity and leave higher education as an option for all income sectors?
It enhances it, and it makes it a better place for them to come to. And remember, when we're talking about tuition, we're also talking about the discount rate. So while there are some students who are paying the posted price, and they generally come from wealthy families who can afford it, there are an awful lot of students at George Washington University who get deep discounts because they've got talent, and they've got brains, and they have need. And the university responds to that need with generous scholarships, which results in their price being a lot less than the posted one.
You said an awful lot. Is there a statistical way of tracking whether that was a rise during your tenure or is actually growing now?
Well, it both. I mean, it went up dramatically during my tenure, and it continues to be very generous at George Washington University. About 60% of our student body receives financial aid. Of varying amounts depending on their family income and their ability to pay the posted price.
An academic career has not necessarily historically been known for developing millionaires in the U.S. economy. You were paid $3.7 million as president of George Washington University for a time.
Only for a minute. It was the result of a 20-year roll-up of money that was set aside from my compensation every year for two decades, which I deferred until I retired.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a pleasant minute.
It was a wonderful minute, I assure you it was, but yeah. I worked 20 years for it.
All right. Is there a sense of entitlement among faculty and senior staff at higher education institutions, and is that a problem in keeping costs down?
No more than there is for physicians and lawyers and radio announcers and other professionals and people who work diligently to get the credentials for their jobs, and then spend their lives devoting themselves to their profession.
I have to say, Stephen Trachtenberg, no one's paying $50,000 a year to listen to this radio program.
Alas.
Well, but if we were to charge that, it would go off the air, and I think doctors and the rising cost of healthcare has had a huge impact on employment in the healthcare field. Doesn't there need to be change in higher education?
Oh, absolutely. I'm not advocating that we stay exactly the way we are. I'm simply pointing out that university professors are economic men and women, and they expect to be compensated in much the same way that people in other walks of life.
And I guess my question is the banker the guide here in compensating academics, or is a sort of working class measure more of a measure? Is a sort of an entry-level white-collar measure? I don't quite understand. I want brilliant people to be teaching my kids, but I don't know what your sense of appropriate compensation is here.
There's a marketplace. George Washington University competes for the best faculty in a marketplace, and unless they compensate in a competitive way, those faculty are going to go to Harvard, or they're going to go to Princeton. And so when we go out to recruit somebody to the faculty, we have to see to it that that they earn a salary that's comparable to their peers in equally competitive institutions. And moreover, if we're trying to recruit a physicist or a mathematician, we're up against industry and commerce and government. And if we're trying to recruit a physician to our medical school, we're up against doctors and other forms of practice. this is the way system of the country. It's not unique to the university.
We're talking to Stephen Trachtenberg, President Emeritus of George Washington University. In your article in The Atlantic, you describe that academic life needs to be reformed to give parents and families more options to get a quality education without paying the full four-year ride. Can you enumerate some of those reforms?
Well, I believe that the universities are still working off of what is functionally a medieval model and an agrarian model. There's no reason why your calendar and mine should have 12 months and every university should have 8. May, June, July, and August ought to be full-time university months, not times for lengthy vacations. And I think we ought to be running our physical plant and having our faculty teaching and researching and doing their scholarly work year-round, just as people in other professions do. So I think that's an important one. And I also believe that we ought to be going 6 days a week rather than 4.5 or 5, as many universities do. Generally, I think we need to step back and take a look at the way we conduct our affairs. And I think it's fair to ask if we can't reduce the conventional time for an undergraduate degree to 3 years rather than 4. They seem to turn out a reasonable product at Oxford University in England and Cambridge University in England in 3 years. And I'm not quite sure that American students need an additional year to be able to do the BA degree.
If working class and minority families give up on the price of George Washington University and also find it difficult to get student loans in this economic environment, is your message to them, go somewhere else? There's a quality education somewhere else?
No, my message to them is apply to George Washington University and discover how generous our scholarship programs can be for minorities and working class people whose kids are bright and are interested in attending George Washington University.
All right.
They'll discover they're most welcome.
Stephen Trachtenberg, President Emeritus of George Washington University and University Professor of Public Service. His article in The Atlantic is called Why is College So Expensive? Thank you, sir.
You bet.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.